Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. We got playoff baseball in the Bay tomorrow night. It actually begins tonight. MLB Network and Fox Sports' John Morosi, a 95.7 The Game insider appearing on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. John, I'm so glad we were able to call you to talk a little baseball. How you doing, pal?
Damon, I'm outstanding, my friend. Love this time of year. Happy postseason once again for the Oakland Athletics. Their journey, somewhat improbable again, but I guess we should all be expecting it now. They find a way to get there. It seems more often than not. It's just a great team to watch, and really congratulations to the A's on making it here to the playoffs.
A fun young team that is going with the decision of youth tomorrow night. Do you think starting Manaea is the right idea? Would you have gone with Fires?
Absolutely the right call. I look at last year in the way that the wild card game played out, and Hendricks, of course, has turned into an all-star reliever now and as a closer for most of the year, and I love what he does for the team, but I think even last year, think about the way that game began, that was not his best opportunity. That was not the best way to use Liam Hendricks probably 1 year ago. So I think the A's are rightly correcting it now. You start with your best starter, and your most overwhelming starter, the best guy you've got, is Manaea. His ERA is under 2 in the 5 games that he started since coming back from injury. And if I'm an A's fan, if I'm an A's staff member, an A's player, I want to be able to say, we're not going home until our best guy pitches. And right now their best guy is Manaea, in my opinion. What I love, though, too, about the way they can manage this game, and Bob Melvin obviously is one of the best in the game, you could start Manaea, and then I think actually you go from a hard-throwing, big-time power stuff lefty, you could always dial back the velocity and use Fires out of the bullpen, and then it climbs back up if you put in Lizardo. So you can throw a lot of different looks at the opposition, and in a game like this, who you start, obviously, is a very important decision. We saw that happen last year for the A's in the wild card game. But you've got so many pitchers available, especially when you were able to rest your guys for a couple of days, knowing, of course, that they had secured a playoff berth before the final day of the season. They're in a really good spot. And I think I expect Manaea to deal and to be great. And if he's not, you've got a great amount of options after. And I think starting the guy with the best stuff, I know he's a little bit young. I know he missed a lot of time this season, but he's their best guy going right now. I would not second-guess this decision one bit, no matter how it plays out.
You may have covered this when you talked about how you think Manaea can go deep into the game, but if he doesn't, if he just goes, has your average 5.5-6-inning start, do the A's have enough of a bullpen bridge to get to Hendricks? I mean, Lizardo is the live arm, but can they cover those other 6 to 8 outs?
I think so, and I think that the rest factor rate for them is crucial. And now, granted, there's no question about it. You go back to the beginning of the year, and they would have been expecting to have Blake Treinen as a key part of the bullpen here at this point in time of the year. Obviously, it hasn't worked out that way. That is one sort of unmistakable downside for them that they've got right now, where he's not quite himself, and it obviously hasn't been all season long. They've got some veteran guys though back there. I think Petit is a guy that can give you length, and I love what he offers this team. You think about his playoff pedigree. We saw it on the other side of the bay 5 years ago in that amazing outing in Game 2 of the division series. Petit always seems to be the guy that no one talks about, but is always there, so steady. I like what he can give this team potentially in that situation. Buchter as well. I think from the left side you can see what he can do as well. So for me, overall, they've got enough. And when you think about the way that starters are going to be used, Ray, by just about every team in the playoffs that's not the Astros or maybe the Nationals if they advance, I think five and two-thirds is plenty of length. I think it's a different game right now, and by the way the games were able to rest their bullpen and be able to be creative and potentially bring in Fires, I think 5 1/3, right around the range that Manaea has been giving them of late, I think is a more than adequate amount of innings for them to get from their starting pitcher in the wild card game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on the pitching side. I might be a little more worried, strangely enough, about the hitting. Charlie Morton was excellent against the A's this year and actually historically pretty good. Who's the bat in your mind that can come through against this guy? And frankly, who are the bats that you're sure are going to be in the lineup? Because they got options.
Well, it's a very good point. They have options. They also have a lot of players that have had some nagging injuries that have been happening here at different times, even including to Chapman, who I still think is the guy that I would trust the most. And certainly, you look at Olsen too. There's a lot of belief there. But I game on the line. I would love to see Chapman up at the plate. I think he's been so big for them, and of course Semien as well with his run production. You look at Morton, and the last would probably take a little different approach. He is somebody that is so adaptable, up in the zone, down in the zone. His repertoire is uniquely situated, I believe, for a playoff game, because he really can use different pitches at different times of the game based on circumstances. He's got that veteran savvy that comes with having thrown the last pitch of the World Series, which he did only 2 years ago for the Astros. So the moment's not going to be too big for him either. I think that for me, Canna, you see the fact that he's able to come back and be healthy towards the end of the regular season, that was really important, given his importance to the club. I'm pretty sure that Canna will be in there. Piscotty, I'm a little less certain. I think just his in and out of the lineup at different times during the course of the second half is a little concerning for me. But I would say I would expect Chapman to be there despite the nagging issue for him, and I think Semien as well. And I would really expect Canna, given the injuries here that he's been able to battle through very successfully, I think we'll see Canna in the lineup at the wild card game too.
Given the fact that the game is being played, first of all, in developing twilight with long shadows, and two, the fact that both teams tend to use their bullpens in bulk, is this a game that's going to be managed really tight to the vest, to the point where you might see a 3-2 game with 13 pitchers?
You may. That's a really good point, because of course, Ray, for the opposition, or for whoever advances, rather, they'll have that day off in between the wild card game and oh, by the way, your assignment is to fly to Houston to face Verlander on Friday, probably. Gerrit Cole easily could take that start too, but I think you will see a lot of creative management, and I think you may see starting pitchers being utilized out of the pen and everybody in a short stint. I think one of the things that I'm sure the A's have done this week is back off their pitchers in terms of their between innings or between starts throwing sessions. I would imagine there were not a whole lot of hard bullpens being thrown at the Coliseum today or yesterday as the guys get ready. I think they're preserving their arms as best they can. Well, I think we'll probably see a similar approach tonight in the NL side with the Nationals, where we don't even know if even ex-athletic Sean Doolittle is going to be the closer for the Nationals. It may well be Steven Strasburg. In a game like this, Ray, to your point, it's managed with such urgency, and the other benefit is you're early enough in the postseason calendar that everyone has had at least 2 days to rest, and in many cases more than that. And so you've got a fully rested pen. You can also engineer your roster for the one game. That's the other part of this that becomes really interesting. You can use and carry, if you wanted to, 10 pitchers that are all available to pitch one game. And that's a really unique circumstance to have that in support of the pitcher that you're hoping to give you five innings anyway. So you've got different protections built in there. You probably will have different starters. I'm sure Fiers is going to be on the roster and able to give length. You even wonder, could Bassett do the same thing, depending on where he is at in his recovery from his last start. So they've got a lot of good options. I would be very confident, very comfortable with the way that Bob Melvin can manage this game. And I think the experience of having played in and lost the game last year will really serve the A's well. It wasn't as though they were totally uncompetitive with the Yankees. The first inning got away from them a little bit, and they weren't really ever fully able to recover. But I think overall, they're not going to be awed by the circumstances of a one-game situation. I think that's going to help the bullpen. It'll help the lineup. It'll help Bob Melvin and his staff just be that much more accustomed to the circumstances. So I look for the A's to play a very competitive game. I think they'll be just fine in the wild card game.
A crazy Coliseum will probably do them really well. John, we've got to ask you a couple more things. So real quick, any doubt in your mind that Houston wants Tampa Bay to win tomorrow night? Because if I'm Astros, I'm more afraid of the A's. Well, if I'm the Astros, I'm not afraid of anyone. But I'm more afraid of the A's than I am the Rays.
That's a great question, Damon. I think that the Astros are somewhat wary of either opponent. They may even look at the Tampa pitching staff and how it's gotten better in recent days with Snell and Chirinos coming back and potentially being rested for them in that division series. They may even fear the Rays a little bit more because of that fact. But it's, to me, either way, it's a coin flip as to which team is going to be more formidable to have to deal with. I really think that no matter what, I'll say this, no matter which team wins this wild card game, I'm expecting the Astros to be pushed to five games in the division series.
Ooh.
Both of those teams, and yes, I'll still pick the Astros to win the division series, but I think both teams are able to give the Astros fits. I think we saw the way that Oakland played Houston down the stretch. They're not afraid of them. I think that, meaning the Oakland's not afraid of Houston based on the way that they played down the stretch. I believe that Houston's going to have their hands full, as good as they've been. 107 wins and everything else. I think Houston's going to get pushed to the brink in the first round of these AL playoffs.
Jumping to today's game, Brandon Woodruff getting the start, coming off an oblique injury. They're expecting 2 to 3 innings. Why have him make the start if you know he can't go deep? I understand the bullpen's strong, but wouldn't you rather have at least the possibility of a starter hanging in there?
That's a fair question. I think that the issue with Milwaukee, though, Matt, is that they just don't have that guy.
Right.
They're not set up that way to have a Verlander type or even a Manaea type right now. They had to empty the bucket, so to speak, of their pitching over the weekend to try to win the division. Of course, they didn't do it. They had just one day off. There's every reason here for the Nationals to win this game. I realize the Nationals have their postseason demons to have to deal with, but this is a team in Washington that is well-stocked with their pitching. They're lined up. They've known they're going to play this game for a long time. They've got Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin all rested. They've got Doolittle, as we talked about. They are so well set up for this game, whereas I think in Milwaukee's case, they just don't have the starting depth. They've had to rely on Adrian Hauser has been big for them down the stretch, but they don't have someone to really counter what Max Scherzer can give them. Woodruff, though, at his best, is an all-star, and when he is healthy, he can give them at least 3 quality innings, and you hope that if you do that, by then you will have found a way to get some early points on the board against Scherzer. The roadmap to victory for Milwaukee is difficult. I think Washington wins this game and begins to maybe turn a narrative of underperformance in October around in the wild card game tonight.
All right, John, always love talking baseball with you. We got to run. I want to give you the name, one name, that I think is a very good candidate to be the next Giants manager. Agree or disagree, and then give me a name of your own.
Very good.
Mark Kotze.
He's going to be on the list, I believe. I think Kotze is going to interview with the Padres as well. I'll respond and say I believe Raul Ibanez is going to be managing somewhere in 2020. I think the Cubs are on him too, but the Giants, because of Farhan Zaidi's connection, they may have right now the inside track.
Always good to talk with you. Enjoy a little baseball tonight. I know you love the one winner take it all format, and we'll talk to you about these results real soon, my friend.
Sounds great. I look forward to that. We'll break down the Sharks as well when we next have our conversation.
Done deal.
They're finished.
Oh, Ray's already eliminated them. Ray's already said they're done.
You can't trot out those 4 right wings and pretend you're a factor.
Maybe a little unbalanced this year, and there was a little magic to them in the playoffs last year, but I believe the Sharks will find a way to get back to the playoffs once again.
All right, you two need to be separated. Thank you very much, JD.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure. Always love the conversation.
That's fine.
I'm just going to throw one in just for good measure. You know,
JP believes.
Just keeping it real. 888-957-9570. I see we got a couple guys on hold. Fantastic. We're going to come on back and talk to you after Jay Billis joins us. He's one of the smartest guys, one of the harshest critics of the NCAA, and the Gavin Newsom move from the state of California yesterday, allowing college players now the opportunity to cash in on their image and likeness. Is this a big deal? You know what? It is. We're going to hear about what a big deal it is from Jay Billis. Coming up next here, Damon Ratto and Kolsky,